This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another edition of PTBN Live Watch, Place to Be Network Live Watch. I'm starting, you know this is live because I've already ripped the headphones right out of my microphone, but we're going to keep going on. So we've done some Nitros, we've done some Raws, lately we've been doing some fun matches from Japan, and we wanted to start this back up again because the WWE Network in all of its glory just made a huge drop of content, of classic content, and that are the Coliseum home video tapes. And tonight we're going to look at the most unusual matches because, you know, why would we do something that could potentially be great when we can make the potentially bad even better? So to do so, I need some knuckleheads, but I don't have any, unfortunately. I had to find well-rounded, intelligent people. And at first I went to Connecticut. And it really was difficult to find someone there, but I did find Glenn Butler. Glenn, how are you doing?
I am doing all right. Did you get stuck on 95 coming up here? That's what people usually complain about.
Yes, and I got stuck on 95 and then something about seafood boils and something government and just a state through New York. I don't know anything about Connecticut.
We invented pizza, Steve. That's what you need to know about Connecticut. We invented pizza.
The New Haven, Connecticut pizza, I have heard of that. They put clams on it sometimes, and that's weird.
The clams are good. I like the shrimp pizza myself.
I've had shrimp and pineapple pizza, but that would be a most unusual pizza, and we are here for most unusual matches. We will have an unusual pizza podcast sometime.
Yeah, we might have that over on my corner of the feed.
The pop feed.
Yes.
So speaking of pop, someone who used to be on pop, but then he got lost. He got lost in the feed amidst basketball podcasts, comic podcasts, whatever the Lucha Undead podcast is. Jordan Duncan, where are you? Are you here?
Based off what it looks like outside my window, I think I'm sleeping in the belly of a tauntaun tonight. I appear to be on the ice planet of Hoth.
Excellent. We got our 5 inches of snow and then just like, haha, -2, you can't play out there.
Yeah, we're supposed to get 6 to 12 on Friday, which I think that's a very big discrepancy.
We were originally supposed to have that 6 to 12 inches tomorrow, and then it just disappeared from the forecast.
Oh, well, maybe it'll disappear from ours too.
Yeah, that's a big, even bigger discrepancy between 12 inches and 0 inches.
Right.
Oh, that's what she said.
Bye, Blake. Bye. Just saying bye to my friend Blake Griffin. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's
scratching on my couch now.
He needed a place to crash.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to go with Blake
Beverly. Wait. That was Kathy Griffin. My bad.
No. Glenn's got Merv over at his house.
Merv Griffin?
Yes.
And now picture Glenn doing the podcast with the set of the Merv Griffin show a la Cosmo Kramer.
How do you know I haven't been doing that the whole time, Jordan? Oh,
I hope you have, which you can read about our take on the Merv Griffin episode of Seinfeld Season 9. Never mind. I'm in plug mode.
All right, well, we're going to get started right away because who knows? The great thing about the live watches is that you can be a complete amateur. I mean, you have to be a total professional and prepare quite a bit for these shows. Go deep in the bowels of history. Or actually, we just picked the show right before we went on. So we are on Most Unusual Matches, 1985 on the WWE Network. If you haven't heard this before, we will count you in. You can watch at home. We'll comment Mystery Science Theater 3000. We just kind of come up with whatever pops in our head. It could be good. It could be bad. But it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we are on the frame that says presented in the most complete form possible due to original production technical difficulties.
Which
that
is always inspiring as a message.
It is always inspiring, yes. Because I actually legitimately get excited when that comes on because I want to try to figure out where the technical difficulties are. Right. Sometimes they're subtle, sometimes they're big.
And like, so, hey, listen, this is as good as we got it, okay?
Yeah, we really tried.
I feel like all of our podcasts should start with that disclaimer.
You know, much like I often figure in life, it's never going to get any better than this.
Glenn, I think we know our intro to this podcast. All right, I'm going to count everybody down. You can play along at home. In 3, 2, 1. There's now, definitely time.
I do picture Lord Alfred reading that. Presented in the most complete form possible. Oh my goodness.
In the galaxies of space.
Every major culture. Egypt, Greece, Rome, India, Japan. That's
that
all.
Is it. There are no other cultures.
Oh, this is something. This is something.
What is it? What do you think they're talking about?
Shrimp on a pizza, I think.
Oh, of course, it's a classic. Anticipation now.
Did you guys have any Colosseum videos growing up?
I did. Well, we talked right before we went on the air. I had the one where Brett won the title from Flair, which I think we said was Smack'em Whack'em, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what other ones I had.
I had a couple
of the super tapes.
I've rented a couple in my time. I've also, there's a Tiger Mask sighting in this opener.
Yeah.
I have some copies of them. I won't say where I got them from, but you guys can imagine. And so I've seen like the British Bulldogs one, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I think I have a Diesel one. I think that's still a Colosseum home video. It's terrible.
That was a heck of an airplane spin.
A Greco-Roman airplane spin by the... content of this montage.
Yep, and he was doing that to appease his god, I believe.
Who was the Roman god of wrestling?
That would be
Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
The WWF's most unusual matches. Of course, this is from 1985, and this is a most unusual haircut right now.
Marge Simpson hosting this episode.
But of course, one of the reasons that I wanted to do this one is because in 1985, there are a lot of unusual matches they had not had yet. And so, let's see like what exactly they give us as unusual here.
Those are some earrings that Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse has got a blue clown wig on.
And wind chimes on each ear.
You know, those sunglasses are pretty boss, though.
When those are the most conservative part of the outfit.
So Jesse is saying that what better than most unusual announcer and wrestler to announce this? But right. The funny thing is, he is totally straight-faced and serious as he's saying this.
Yeah.
Fair. Oh. I see many people. That's unusual.
I see a grandma in a mask.
Guys, are we getting a women's battle royal?
That is highly unusual.
I haven't seen one of those in like a week.
Country whipping match of some sort?
Yeah.
He's describing right now, Jesse, like what would qualify as an unusual match.
Yeah. Oh!
Technical difficulties.
Some tracking lines.
Look, guys, it's not going to get any better than this.
Look, what do you want?
Well, I think I saw this match. If they're going to do the lumberjack match, Tito and Greg Valentine, it's a great, great match.
Yeah, it looks like. Of course, the cage match that everyone's seen the one clip from 700 times.
Yeah. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
But never saw the other part. Saw a splash and a still shot of Mick Foley. It's so interesting hearing Jesse Ventura just talk so straight-laced. And one more thing. You will see Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
And one more thing. The government wants to eat your brain.
Right after it finishes 9/11.
And one more thing. In 1985, had chemtrails been invented yet?
If not, how do you explain my wig?
Here we go right away with the Lumberjack match for the Inter-Continental Heavyweight Championship. That typography these days is highly unusual.
Mm-hmm. Tito and Greg.
Yeah, this is a... Yeah, this could be. This is a fun.
I hope they don't. I hope they use that same camera angle the whole match.
Diagonally out and like hanging from the roof of Madison Square Garden.
Right. Yeah, yeah. We only have the one way zoomed out angle, like the last Battle of Georgia.
And for some reason, that is not Tito or Greg. That is.
That is Big John Studd, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is. Jesse is still deadpan. He's like, what is a lumberjack match? It derived from the Northwest Canadian woods.
Is that where lumber comes from?
Yes. Yeah, he is. That is exactly how he is talking. There will be no running away in Madison Square Garden.
The dictionary defines lumber as milled wood.
Are all the cameramen lumberjacks?
Hopefully.
That'd be great. This could be a real who's who of 1985.
Yeah, we've got the police here, too, apparently. You see the hats.
The band? The
police. Sting, yeah.
Yeah, Sting. Good. Name the rest.
Tito and Greg Valentine opened for the Copeland? Police at MSG.
Adam Copeland.
Adam Copeland! Man, I forgot him. Yeah.
He's rated R.
Jay Riso.
Yeah. Oh, nice purple suede outfit.
Yeah, Hammer with a nice robe there.
Jimmy, I saw Greg the Hammer Valentine wrestle about 3 years ago.
Oh, that's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he had a Kinko's envelope.
That's a robe?
Filled with 8x10s for people to sign, to buy and sign. And he was carrying him around like it was Tito running through the back of the locker room through the curtain. And he wrestled, in quotation marks, with a guy named Jordy Lee in a tag team match. And it consisted of Jordy Lee getting his butt handed to him and eventually tagging to Greg the Hammer, who waddled into the ring, dropped an elbow, and then put on a figure four leg lock. And that was the his entire match.
How'd the figure four look? Is it still pristine?
It is. It was still pretty good. It took him a while to get it on, but, I mean, he's an older man. It's an interesting book. Sounds like Mean Gene on the call.
Yeah. Is that Joey Morella?
Is our Jerry referee? Gibbs ringside. Andy Gibbs as well. Barry Gibb.
So we've got, obviously, Big John Studd. Let's see, what other lumberjacks do we have out here?
I don't know who that guy to the right of Jimmy John Studd is. Hartwright.
I was just trying to figure that out.
He's a heart throb, I'll tell you that much.
Looks like Rocky Johnson with the red tank top on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not Joey Morella reffing.
We should look for our most 80s moment since we are in the 80s as opposed to the 90s. Is that Ricky Steamboat there?
Yeah, I thought I spotted Ricky there.
Yep, that's him.
Why is Jimmy Hart standing with Rocky Johnson?
Gosh, I don't know. They look like, is that medium and small John Studd? Is that who those two guys are?
Yeah, the Studd brothers.
You know, this is extra crowded at ringside because, of course, Jimmy's there. You got the photographers. You know, who aren't technically lumberjacks, but, you know, if people are going to get thrown around, who knows?
Apparently the Bee Gees are. Is it Michael Hayes?
God, it might be.
I think it could be Michael Hayes. I know
is,
that
is this. Is this the 2 weeks he was in the WWF?
Yeah, I think that could be him.
I don't think so. He's a little too big for him.
His hair seems kind of short, too.
Yeah, and his hair on his chest isn't as glistening.
Well, I notice he's keeping his distance from Rocky Johnson. So that's proof that it could be him. We've got another.
There's just a load of jobbers ringside.
Yeah. We've got a masked wrestler here. Beefcake. Beefcake not looking beefy.
No, he is not muscular like yet. Not going to Venice Beach with his big brother.
Well, yeah, in 85 he hadn't baked all the way.
No. Or he also hadn't gone to barber's college yet either.
You laugh, but that's a serious academic track, my friend.
King Kong Bundy out in a polo, a long sleeve polo shirt.
I gotta keep it classy.
And it's a good pick for Bundy to be a lumberjack, because I learned in my watching of World Class starting in 1982 that the Von Erichs took King Kong Bundy from Nome, Alaska, where he was just nothing but a loser lumberjack, and they molded him into the man that he is today.
Well, I mean, you can't get much more northwest than Alaska.
No, and he was a turncoat on the Von Erichs because he wanted to get money.
Well, he the lumberjack out of the woods, but they'll still attack Hulk Hogan, I guess is what we was.
Well, maybe he thought Hulk Hogan was a tree.
The hammer's trying to get out of there. That's not going to happen.
Junkier
I think
dog
that's JYD shoving him in there, yeah. Oh, we're clipped.
We've had a couple clips here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tito, which is nice unusual. Tito's just beating on Valentine here. Valentine keeps trying to escape, but he keeps...
Big muscular guy here with the... Oh, is it?
That is Snuka.
Is it Snuka?
On the right.
Gosh, he looked way bigger than I remember him ever being.
Steve-O was like deadlifting Valentine back in the ring.
Hammer is not liking this.
Would you so far say that this is unusual?
I mean, in the sense that, you know, if you don't know what lumberjacks are, sure.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
if you expect to think that...
You know, the dictionary defines lumberjacks as...
Shirtless men on steroids standing around a square.
Interesting cover from the hammer there. Just kind of mounts Tito.
Believe they call that the full body press.
Now we've got a guy with blonde curly hair with like the leather jacket who doesn't seem to have any preference. He will go after Tito or the hammer. He just wants some action.
He wants some TV time.
Yeah.
Well, this might be
the obvious joke is that Valentine takes two cuts of the video in order to get warmed up.
Yeah, he's in full control now though.
Ooh, Junkyard Dog is a little cheating there. He kind of caught Tito Santana as he came down. Calling a timeout.
JYD giving it to Bundy a little bit there, too. That would have been a heck of a match.
There would have been some plotting going on. And I mean yes. PLODDING.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, you know, during the break, I'm sure we could get a listing of these lumberjacks.
If only I had some sort of handheld machine.
Well, some of us may be watching with that handheld device. So
I'm on three different screens at once to do this. So I do prepare.
Hammer with some clubbing forearms. My favorite type of forearms, the clubbing ones. Ooh, yeah. Not the most agile.
Kind of like walked across the second rope and fell off.
Proving that he was not under the mask as El Samurai in New Japan at any time.
You know, I do prefer the Hermit Crab's version of that in Chikara.
Oh, yes. Like Gran Naniwa.
Gran Naniwa, yeah. That's who I meant, not El Samurai.
They say this is February 1st.
I believe the list that I have says this is March 17th, 85.
Okay.
So, Steve, you're listening with some sound. Is the crowd into this?
Yeah, the crowd is very much into it. There is a lot of screaming and yelling.
Here we go. Yes, I have found a listing on a friend of the Place to Be Nation, the history of WWE.com.
All right.
Lumberjacks included... King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, JYD, Barry O is here.
Oh, okay.
Mario is with us tonight.
Matt Bourne is in the building.
Oh, I think Matt Bourne's the guy in the red t-shirt next to Stud then.
Ricky Steamboat, Jimmy Snuka, Rocky Johnson, Charlie Fulton, come on down. And Terry Gibbs.
So we've cut ahead, and now, this is unusual.
Yep.
Tito was pulling off Greg Valentine's tights to keep him in the ring.
What an unusual match.
It is very unusual.
Hopefully that didn't happen when you saw Greg Valentine a few months ago. Not that I'm here to yuck anyone's yums.
Yeah.
I'm not here to judge.
Well, Steve's stone silence tells me it did happen and he enjoyed it.
What's going on, guys?
Stud really earning that paycheck, man. That guy was a workhorse even as a lumberjack.
That's got to be Fulton next to Stud, just because his brother of the Fantastics.
Yeah.
And his brother was at just handsomely, rugged and handsome. There's just something about the dark black beard and the dyed blonde hair.
Yeah.
It's a real good commitment. Tito going for the figure four.
The hammer just throws him off.
If anyone's going to know the reversal to the figure
and tries four. To escape. Come on, Greg. Like, you know the rules of the match by now.
Mr. Rock and Roll is that Barry O?
I think it's Dee Snider.
Yeah. He's got a contender for most 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with this match taking place in mid-March 1985, what effect would the result have on the Junkyard Dogs Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania?
Well, it's a good question.
Would he have faced Tito?
I thought you were going to say, what effect it would have on the Chicago Bears 1985 NFL season?
Or the 1985 NBA draft, which most people believe was rigged.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks.
No, a big moment in the match is that John Studd pulled Greg Valentine into the ropes to break the figure four. Not exactly aligned with Greg.
Come on.
Not exactly aligned with Greg Valentine. And Tito's a clubbing on Studd now.
Yeah, Tito's picking more fights than he can handle right here.
Yes.
Second reference of Pearl Harbor by Mean Gene Okerlund and Gorilla Monsoon.
In an unusual twist, the first reference was to the Ben Affleck movie, though.
Yes.
It's very unusual to reference something 15 years before it came out. Tito firing up here.
Oh, yeah.
Some shots.
Valentine goes for a headlock like 15 minutes into a match.
Well, that's...
collide. And it's it.
Huh.
They collide in the middle of the ring. Valentine falls on top, collapses in him.
Yeah. Interesting.
Jimmy Hart has no idea how to get in the ring.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
Yeah. Fink in there, announcing the results.
So Greg Hammer, Valentine hits on his title.
Yeah, the ref just does not seem happy.
What, do you think the ref had money on the match?
Maybe.
King Kong Bundy's tracksuit is in contention for most 80s there.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. With a nice watch, too.
And we cut right to... another hammer match?
Yes, this is... we'll see when we see a little more.
Oh, this is from July 3rd, 1979.
Oh, okay.
An Indian strap match.
Mm. See, that's unusual. I'm only familiar with the Yappa Pie strap.
Right. and he's against Chief Jay Strongbow, and Jesse Ventura is trying to tell you that before, in the match we just saw, Valentine kept trying to escape, but they want to show you what he can do when he's actually staying in the ring.
Gotcha. The Chief is off to a heck of a start in this match.
This start for him is unusual.
Now, is Chief Jay Strongbow the wrestler that not many people enjoy?
Yes, there are many. Yes. There are many people who hate this man with a passion.
Yeah.
Although I would bet that the Titans looked at this very match, because I know they did a lot of Valentine's 70s stuff, and they might have even made Parv watch this. Maybe his work with Valentine might be a cut above.
Even
at this late date.
There must have been no commentary for this match, because Jesse has dubbed commentary over it.
Is he deadpanning the entire thing?
No, he's clearly reading off of something.
Oh, okay.
Got a great voice, though.
Well, I think the Chief's already busted open, so...
Yep.
Or as Ventura says, yes, Strongbow is bleeding. The Chief is bleeding.
Got some tracking issues on the tape again.
Look, get some guys, tracking issues with the ladies in the front row.
I was just thinking that green outfit is something.
It's not going to get any better.
Oh. Camera zooms in on the Chief's wrapped up knee for some reason.
He's starting to do that war dance there, Jess.
Yes, which was more like little hops.
Now the tradition, Jordan, as you mentioned, of the Yappapai strap match, I'm not sure what cultural or ethnic tradition that comes from, but the Native American tradition of strap matches, I think, might be related.
It could be. You know, the dictionary defines strap matches as... Oh, hang on. My dictionary just closed. I'm not sure.
And we're clipped again. How dare they? Now, Chief Jay is the one wandering away.
Coward.
But he's wandering towards a group of... Is it police?
Yeah, I believe so. A group of four police officers.
Interesting.
Yeah, why would you try to run away when you're strapped to the other man? This is the third time he's trying to do this.
What he lacks in brains, he more than makes up for in good looks and physique.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Trying to drag Greg with him now. Trying to bring him down into the muck.
This is legitimately unusual to have him outside the ring in a strap match. That's
the women in the front row are excited. One is in a house dress of some sort next to the green outfit.
You know, that's
the child is getting scared. The women don't care.
That's one of the things I genuinely like about some of these old 70s shows that they have on the network is all of the old ladies at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Genuinely delightful element of the crowd.
I'm waiting for the day, like, you know, it's kind of the hip thing now, especially the bigger shows like the Rumble and SummerSlam, for fans to come dressed as wrestlers. Imagine the guy who's just going to decide, let's just, our group of friends, we're going to dress like the old ladies from that Chief Jay Strongbow match. That would be awesome.
Valentine is busted open as well now. Do you think that's like Strongbow and Valentine's wives sitting together?
They just... do now.
One of them always comes in her lime green leisure suit.
Did the Chief just kick the ref in the nuts?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, twice!
He's the good guy, right?
Do we have lumberjacks coming out?
Just there's some boiled Tito, up, roided up people.
That's Tito with a perm out there.
Ivan Putski?
De Bruyne!
Ventura making fun of Putski's beard. Here comes Ivan Putski with a beard. That's an interesting look.
The chief just relentlessly throwing kicks at anyone. Any groin that gets in his way.
Jesse doesn't even know who the third person is. Saying Tito Santana and Ivan Putski.
For a second, I thought it was Bruno, but maybe I'm just stereotyping.
Yeah, I thought for a second it was, too. Oh! Gosh! The hammer's going into the crowd!
There's a man in the crowd who just took a chair, tried to take a chair from...
I think it was the Fray!
Oh. These are all over that guy now.
Yeah, he got his receipts for that one. Mm-hmm. The cops are on him, but Valentine got a good shot in.
Yeah.
Lucky he didn't get kicked in the nuts by Chief J. Strongbow.
At this point, I'm willing to say we're all lucky for that one.
Yeah, it's true.
I want to see what happens to the guy.
Is that gorilla breaking things up now?
Gorilla's out there now, trying to help it out. Ooh, gorilla is big there.
Yeah. Looks like the strap has been removed.
Gorilla looks like he's lost a couple of pounds since 1979. Valentine just went back after the fan again.
He did. And one of the police officers appears to be Barney Fife.
It's the 70s. They're all Barney Fife.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Oh, Valentine's getting mad at the police.
Golly.
I wonder who that guy...
And police officers.
I wonder who that guy in the polo shirt was leading Valentine away, because now, when someone comes out to do that, it's like Finley or Dean Malenko.
Right.
So, who was it in the 70s? Like, Edward Carpentier?
That was a big cut.
Yeah, cut to our next match.
A Texas Tornado match. Roddy Piper and Cowboy Bob Orton against Junkyard Dog and Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Kerry Von Erich's not even in this match.
Well, he's actually hung on a pole.
Okay.
Yeah, we are back in the current modern day of 1985.
Now, Glenn, would you describe this match as unusual?
Obviously.
I would, too.
Orton and Piper just keep ramming into each other. Oh, the big old thump headbutt by Roddy Ready Piper.
Piper's just flailing around.
Oh, that's incredible.
Very interesting comment by Ventura trying to describe, though. Jeez, Orton just took a headfirst bump onto the floor.
Right out of the bottom of rope.
Jesse's saying that the ring is too small for a cage match to settle the score. Too small for these four people. So you need a Texas Tornado match. Man, Snook is on some serious drugs.
Yeah.
And also JYD is there, so.
Junkyard Dog just had the world's weakest clothesline.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bob Orton will sell it.
Mm-hmm.
JYD with not so common blue pants too. Usually he's red or white.
And his boots appear to be from Japan.
I was thinking paying homage. I wonder if this is where the female wrestler Blue Pants was inspired to become a wrestler. Maybe she's in the crowd here. Just like Mick Foley was in the crowd for the Snuka Morocco match. This is wild so far.
It is wild. These tapes are just go, 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 go.
Mm-hmm.
There's no downtime.
I think maybe it would have had to be Blue Pants' grandparents in this crowd.
I think our referee is my old civics teacher, Mr. Henry.
So shout out to Mr. Henry.
Good to know.
Yeah, he's telling Piper, you got to get your essay in on Monday.
I don't know what Piper is doing.
Piper is selling the headbutt in the weirdest way.
Oh, they really...
What the heck is going on?
Schoolboy and a...
You know what? I have seen this happen way too many times. That is obviously a concussion. It's not a stinger. They need to take him out of the ring.
Concussion protocol.
Set up the tent.
Yeah, pop up the tent.
1985.
Yep. Bob's got to go alone.
Because Lord knows Snuka's brain is just doing great here, Snuka's brain.
Everyone's pulling everyone's hair.
Piper's leg flailing wildly.
I'm telling you, it's not a stinger.
Got Gorilla and Mean Gene call on this one now. Thankfully, Jesse's not reading off a script. Some serious big Lonnie Anderson hair in the second row. I'm old enough to make a Lonnie Anderson reference. I feel like Johnny Sorrow. I'm sober.
Some sort of Piper sign in the front row, too.
It just says Piper. Ah!
We cut, and we're still at a double chin lock.
Cut from the double chin lock to the double chin lock. With 80 special effects to make the transition.
Star wipe? Oh!
No double sleepers. This is tag team rest. That's my list. Ah, Piper is kicking Snuka. He's
kicking him in the gut while Cowboy has him in the sleeper. I think I'm about 3 seconds ahead of you guys.
You know that, Piper. There is no wasted movement.
Ah!
We clip again. We're still in the double sleeper.
Sleepers must be going on for 10 minutes.
I was just going to say, how much time do you think passed in each of those headlock sleeper segments?
Were Snuka and Junkyard Dog trying to, like, grab each other's hands?
I think so.
Oh,
I was thinking of the Titanic theme song as they reached slowly for each other. Did we just clip forward again and they're still in? What is happening?
They're trying to break out.
Oh!
They're joining hands. I thought this was like a Hands Across America.
I thought they were going to do a test of strength, or we're going to get like a chicken fight in a pool or something.
There's ridiculous thing going on this match.
Let's not kid ourselves. The chicken fight challenge is coming to Facebook Live in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The mixed match chicken match. What? We can't even think of.
Oh my goodness. The selling from Piper and Orton is tremendous here.
Orton just fell on his head again.
He sure did.
Did a fair flip, flare flip without the flip. Just a flare flip to a drop. I popped my pee there. There's shout out to Brad.
No rhyme or reason to anything happening in this match.
No psychology, just.
And all of a sudden, Piper and Orton are in control again.
Important to note that Orton has not yet broken his arm.
Whoa. He almost just fell off the rope and broke his arm.
Almost fell off the rope and then tried to leap two-thirds away across the ring and only got a halfway.
And hit the somersault across.
There's a reason you didn't see the Ace Cowboy doing a lot of high-flying moves.
Yeah. That move was certainly not out of nowhere.
Maybe the fact that they're most unusual is that it's unusual that not one of these matches has a clean finish. Ooh, Piper. Tripped up Junkyard Dog. Orton with the world's weakest knee drop to get the pin.
Wow. That was something.
Wow. You know what, though?
Orton barely even touched him on that knee drop.
Those headlocks were amazing, though.
Trying to get involved.
Bob Newhart trying to keep things separated in the aisle there.
And who's the circus ringleader in the red jacket there?
Ah!
Wow! Now this is unusual.
Do we have a date on this one, Steve?
What's that?
Do we have a date on this women's match?
Waiting here on that.
Okay.
The list that I have only has this as 1960s.
I was guessing. I mean, this looks pretty old.
Late
1960s. Pinfalls happening. That ref is counting pinfalls.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Yep.
There's one masked one. That might be unusual.
Yep.
Steve, have they said where this is?
No.
Oh, they get and just like that, we're down to six ladies.
Oh, you know, the final six.
We're down to six.
The final six is the most dramatic part of any battle royal.
Yeah. Especially when you can get pinned.
Oh, the triple Irish whip. That's a high spot for the day.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone cut to Gorilla Monsoon. It originally started with 10 girls.
Okay.
They're calling them girls. Blah!
I bet.
There are some real beauties in there, according to...
Yeah, the masked one especially.
That is a terrible mask.
Wait, what would you
Cowgirl
say...
Cowgirl Sid Green?
What would you say is the most 1960s moment here?
Oh,
guys, do you know what the masked wrestler's name is?
What?
The Masked Venus.
Wow.
Hmm. Most 1960s moment for me in this match. Ooh. It might be just like how the film like makes every sudden movement seem like it's in fast forward a bit.
Nope. The Black Panther has been eliminated.
Oh.
Just, really? Really?
Just,
I just
bought
my...
before the release of the movie.
Yeah, I just bought my tickets yesterday.
Spoiler, in the movie Black Panther, the top villain is the Masked Venus.
Peggy Patterson and Sue Green in one quarter. Donna Cristinella in there, too. Scott Criscolo's girl.
That ref is pretty tall, too. I'm wondering if he's a wrestler of some kind.
Now this appears to have turned into a tag team match, playa.
A tag team monkey flip match.
I feel the need that to bring up a very controversial part of this match, that Masked Venus looked like the mask was blackface.
Oh, goodness. Oh.
At least that was the Masked Venus, and that wasn't the Black Panther. That would have been
that could
really...
have been, yeah. Sue Green is tied up in the ropes.
This ref has no idea what to do.
Ooh.
There's some of the worst counting, like the cadence of... it's terrible.
Girl's ripping on the referee, too.
You know, for matches like this, you really need two referees.
Yeah. Or one decent one.
So many cuts. Steve, how are you holding up?
I've got the seizures.
Just like the ref does whenever he goes to count a pinfall.
Yeah. Two on one now. Donna Cristinella, and we'll call her Billy Joe.
Was that Donna taking the brunt of the punishment here?
That's Sue Green, I believe her name is.
Oh, okay. This ref is getting worked up.
Paula is the first name of the
Poundstone.
Other...
Paula Poundstone.
Paula Poundstone, yes.
Whoa! Whoa! Yikes!
Oh dear, that didn't work.
Nope.
I think that was supposed to be the finish there.
And
so.
Oh!
Wow!
I don't know what just happened.
Is that a Canadian destroyer?
Who was the one that got pinned? I actually don't know.
I have no idea.
Oh, the crowd, the women are like in the front row are about to jump in the ring. They're so happy.
And who is our winner?
Sue Green.
Why was she in Hunger Games? Looks like Katniss. I've never heard of Sue Green before.
No, but like, ah! Sue Green has morphed into Mad Dog Mabshan.
That's unusual.
Good lord, there is a lot of the Mad Dog here.
Yep.
Antonio Inoki's in this battle royal. We're in July 23rd, 1984.
See, we've got the Sheik, we've got Sika or Afa.
Oh, Paul Vachon. Paul the Butcher Vachon.
Iron Mike Sharp, who appears to be eliminated.
Have they cut back to the beginning?
Yeah, now the Finks just Got a microphone.
There's a most 80s right there, the ruffle sea green shirt. Ooh. We're going to get an introduction here. That's good.
Really?
Here comes Sika.
Howard looks like he's just not feeling well.
Oh, Jose Luis Rivera?
That's how Howard looked for a lot of the 70s and the early 80s, frankly.
Butcher Vachon?
Looks like Red Fox is in the front row here.
Tony Inoki will lay on his back the whole match.
Yep.
Tony Gurria.
Oh, gosh. The Chiefs look.
Jay Strongbow.
Chiefs
not
better days.
Why are they still trotting him out in 1984?
I think he lived in Madison Square Garden. I think that's.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's a young Steve Lombardi.
Oh,
Dick Slater?
Dick Murdoch.
Dick Murdoch, I'm sorry.
I think Offa was just rolling his eyes at everyone. Oh, Dick Murdoch doesn't like people flipping him off and grabbing at him.
Bob Orton?
Mm.
Oh, Adrian Adonis.
Young Adrian Adonis? Well, not that young, really. Who else do we got coming down here?
Yeah, there's that one person standing along the aisle who really likes flipping everyone off.
Who is this guy?
I couldn't hear who this was. Ron?
Swanson, okay.
It looks there's like Festus Charlie a little bit.
Hey, this is one of our lumberjacks.
Yeah, Charlie Fulton.
Ah.
And
Terry Daniels?
Terry Daniels.
The Iron Sheik.
Yep.
There's actually some people who are pretty happy.
Sheiky baby. He's a wrestler who's in shape.
Yeah. Tito Santana gets the biggest pop. And a high five from one of the police officers.
Officer Carl Winslow is looking on. Okay, so we're at July of 84. Is that what this is?
Yes.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see who wins this. Few options. Oh. We've got some more entrants.
Paul Orndorff. They get a big introduction from Howard Finkel. Sergeant Slaughter from South Carolina.
According to
already be busted open.
According to our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, this Madison Square Garden show also featured at least three matches that aired on Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Wow.
That last guy, Samu?
The short takeover. Yeah, Samu. He gets the last introduction because he's the best.
Yes.
I always kind of like Battle Royals.
This show also featured...
I know that's...
The show also featured the brawl to end it all with Wendy Richter going up against the fabulous Moolah.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my pick. I'm going to say, Sheik or Tito for me. I'm going to go with Tito.
I'll go Paul Orndorff.
Another fine choice. Glenn, we know you're going to pick the Chief, so.
Yes, obviously. I mean, I looked up the show, so I'm looking at the results. So I can, of course, already say it's the Chief. And there's already some nose picking going on here. And that is most unusual.
That's what we call work rate around here.
There's a lot of roughhousing going on, fellas.
Nose picking and foot choking.
What was he going to do with his bogeys? Was he going to, like...
Yeah. Adrian Adonis. Finding ways to bump even in a battle royal full of guys. Nice Enziguri. Does that eliminate Adonis?
It shouldn't.
I don't think so. But that would be unusual if it did. Got to zoom in tight on men when they're being... choked
Barry
with the foot.
Daniels, that's the guy's name.
You know, Jordan, we're not here to judge.
No. I mean,
some wide.
Who
butts
knows?
Here.
Kota Ibushi might have seen that in one of the apartments, and we just never got around to it.
Yeah,
some good old foot choking.
My goodness, Sergeant Slaughter is svelte here.
Yes, working closely with Sika as he's. Oh no, a Samu. I'm sorry. Very heavy Samoan contingent. 15% of the participants are Samoan.
Mm.
And 38% of the body weight Samoan. So they've got that in their favor as well.
Well, you did see the Butcher for Sean, right?
It's true.
Slaughter trying to do a head scissors for a second there. That didn't quite work out.
Whoa. Both of the partners.
Yep.
Oh, and Slaughter.
And Slaughter. All three take a spill, and they're gone.
Murdoch seems to be hurt. Looks like we're down to about 10.
Yep. Young Festus still in there.
And young Matt Stryker.
Yeah.
Buff Matt Stryker. And of course, the Chief is still in there, isn't he?
Well, someone's got to call the match.
Yes.
Someone needs to be the ring general for these young upstarts. Actually, I don't see the Chief.
He might have been taken out early.
He's probably kicking some people in the groin somewhere.
Inoki's still in there. His hair's messed up, though.
Is that Tito? Is he out?
Yes, that's Tito's gone.
Dang it. And who'd you go with? Orndorff?
Yeah, I don't even see Orndorff in there anymore.
Yeah. It's always good when you cut a match to leave the foot choking in, but cut out the eliminations of a battle royal.
That's, there goes Inoki.
That's exactly what
I
did.
Oh, I know. Someone else.
Yeah, no, Inoki's a house of fire right now with some interesting strikes.
You know, at this point, he might have been the best pure striker in the WWF.
Yep. Whoa.
Holy Christ. That was a big throw out. All the Samoans
So we're down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here.
Including some jobbers, which is great.
Yeah, and Antonio Inoki and Bob Orton.
Yeah, the railings are a little too close to bump out of the ring like that. He almost caught his bare feet on the railing.
We got Rene Goulet, Tony Garea, Antonio Inoki, Bob Orton. This might be a football player of some sort.
Ed Too Tall Jones?
Yes.
Oh, and Orton's over the top. What? Whoa! I haven't seen that in a while. That was an unusual way to lose a battle royal.
It was.
Oh, man.
And Inoki's bringing the enziguri kicks. What a weird final four.
Yeah.
Unusual.
It would be like if Nakamura was in the final four of this year's Rumble with, like, Heath Slater, Aiden English, and I can't even... The Hurricane, I guess.
So Tony Garea's gone. I still don't know who this other guy is.
And they're holding hands. Not trying to hide that they're going for the clothesline. They're giving Inoki some time to prepare for what's coming.
You know, when you have that sort of when you have the power and technique of a Ron Shaw, you know, you don't always need to hide your intentions.
Well, look at that power right there.
Yeah, he's almost got his hands together. And away he goes.
Man, I would not have guessed Inoki.
No, man.
Guess if he's coming over, he's got to go over.
Yeah. And when you need to make someone look like a star, you call Ron Shaw and you get him on the phone. And the Chief.
Now, Goulet on the floor pinning Ron Shaw, so I don't know if anyone's counting that.
Maybe it's one of those impact matches where, like, there's a match going on outside and you've got to get in the ring. Fink appears to be conducting an interview right here.
Maybe tell Antonio to look at the camera, son.
Yeah, hard camera.
Antonio Inoki, you have won the Battle Royal. Which champion will you go after?
Fabulous Moolah.
Here we go.
Talk about bad blood.
Yeah, I think we know what this one is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That cage that Magnificent Morocco is in must be 25 feet in the air.
Yeah, minimum. Like, we both have the same thought there. As the matchless sea comes flying into view.
There's Mick Foley.
And there's a... Nope, I don't know who that was, actually.
One of my favorite things about a cage match is when they come to the ring and start shaking out the cage.
Yeah, like, not familiar with fencing.
Yes.
Let's take a look.
The dictionary defines steel as...
a Northwest Canadian invention.
A Shaquille O'Neal movie from the 1990s.
Can we talk about how small the cage actually is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to...
Yeah, it's barely taller than the wrestlers.
You know, something that is interesting about this, you know, a lot of times when you see the cage match, like, the bad guy's, like, desperate to get out and he's afraid. Morocco's, like loving this. He's ready. He's ready for the cage.
Well, because, you know, the Magnificent Morocco is a vicious, vicious sort of heel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the bumping is already off to a good start.
Mm-hmm. They were watching some Chief J Strongbow tapes in the back.
I hope they're wearing cups.
Yeah. If somebody breaks out into a war dance, we know. We know what inspired them on this night.
Gorilla Monsoon and Pat Patterson, your commentators for this match. Rusted out poles.
Excuse me?
Those poles on the fence. Wait, no, that's not working either. The part that is holding up the steel cage
no.
filled with hepatitis.
Also, to go along with the diminutive stature of the cage, the door is like door. 5 feet tall.
It's yeah, the door like is a, smaller than
it's the like a doggy place. Door.
Yeah, that. What do you think? That cage is like 7 feet off the ring?
Yeah, something like that.
It only looks to be like a foot taller than the wrestlers.
Yeah.
Maybe a foot and a half. This is. I knew this was fake.
Well, you know.
Got it. You Rocco know, hit him in the coconuts.
You know how in wrestling you often have to apply wrestling specific versions of various scientific disciplines?
Yes.
You know, you have wrestling physics, which determines how people bounce off of things.
Like we just saw.
Exactly. You have wrestling biology, which determines that if someone grabs the back of your neck, you must follow them wherever they may lead. Mm-hmm. You have wrestling ethics, which determines that Hulk Hogan is the single paragon of virtue by which everyone else is defined. You have, you know, wrestling versions of various things, and I think what you see with the size of this cage and the height off the floor is wrestling numerology.
I did minor in wrestling physics in college.
I once went to church with a numerologist, and I'll just let you guys in on a little secret. The rapture of the church will happen in January of 1988, so be prepared, guys.
Is that what the Bible code says?
Yep. Hope you're ready for it.
Should let Snuka know.
Yeah, just a few years after this match took place.
And we're climbing, And we're not.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the middle of the rope and their head's above the cage.
Well above the cage.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to give him an attitude adjustment. Oh, maybe not.
He just threw him over the top of the cage just to end the match.
There is some fear to that because that cage is flimsy as they're hanging on it.
You know, well, that's one reason for them to test the capacity of it before the match, right? True. Like, I'm going to be climbing up on this later. Just how rickety is this thing?
But at the same time, the guy who was concerned about how rickety is decided to wrestle barefoot as he climbed it.
Yeah, true. And now starting to climb gingerly down.
I wonder if steroids thin your blood. Because Snuka is spraying it all over the place.
Yeah. Morocco thinking about going out there, but not quite sure if he'll fit.
He's in a position to get out, but he can't.
Yeah.
He is too large.
That body slam he administered really took a lot of wind out of his sails.
Uh-oh, we have a groin kick.
Somewhere the chief nods in approval. Those head flips into the turnbuckle are interesting.
I dare say unusual.
That's true. We cut to the crowd where Mick Foley somewhere is wondering about Melina.
When will she be born?
Gross. Possibility that steroids actually make your blood thicker.
Yeah,
thanks,
like,
Google.
Like into a syrup. Okay.
Yes.
You should have asked Alexa.
Bliss.
Yes, Bliss. Now, how... If Braun Strowman was in that ring right now, like, would he be able to, like, peek over the top standing, you know, just on the mat?
Yes, but he's
a big fella.
Also, he would have torn the cage apart by now.
That's true.
You know, his dictionary defines steel as something which has not yet gotten these hands.
It's true. Lots of chopping, headbutting, your standard Snuka fare. Oh, whoa!
Excuse me?
That's pretty much exactly what the announcers said there. And Don Morocco wins thanks to the very headbutt that Jimmy Snuka administered.
Hoisted on his own petard, he was.
What an unusual finish.
Yes. And now, as he has to duck his head to get out the door.
He ain't done with him!
There's a lot of people who think that was the finish. The flying press off the top rope. No, it's very convoluted. Gorilla just personally guaranteed me that he's going up for a suplex.
And so he did. That Gorilla, he's a smart man.
The fans are ready for the Superfly Splash, but little do they know what we're about to see. It's one of those moments that has become, like, you know, so iconic, but as we watch the match, we realize it's basically about 7 inches higher than off the top rope.
And he still lost the match.
Yep.
Gentlemen, history has been made.
Mm-hmm. Some orange hair right there.
Dude Love was just born.
Mick Foley has decided to become a wrestler.
Snook has decided that made him win the title.
Yep. It's exactly how it works in pro wrestling. You don't pin him. If you hit him with a splash, you win.
I mean, it would be unusual to have a Superfly splash match.
Yes.
That would be unusual.
I think I'd like to see that match, but I think I'd like it to be Chief J. Strongbow versus the Masked Venus.
Take another look at the magnificent Morocco just laying covered in his own blood in his belt.
I mean, that's a normal Tuesday night at my house.
Yeah.
Nothing unusual about that.
No, sir.
Now, have you seen any of the matches before that we've had on this tape?
I've seen this one.
Yeah, I've seen this one in that lumberjack match.
Yeah.
That's it. I've definitely never seen that women's match, nor heard of anyone except for heard of any of them except for Donna Cristianello.
We're replaying the splash again, as it will be replayed 100 million times in the future.
Oh, yeah. Yes, over the next 30 years. Until they realize that Jimmy Snuka was a murderer.
Yep.
Well, realize is an interesting word.
Realize that we all know.
Yes. Realize, synonym, looking up in my thesaurus instead of your dictionary.
So what looking at our this? Looking at our time count, we're going to have another match, correct? Oh, yeah. We sure are. Don Morocco versus an elderly man. Is this one of those a fan in the crowd gets to fight matches?
We haven't seen it quite yet, but this is indeed a tag match featuring
Ooh, that's unusual.
Featuring Don Morocco and the Captain Louis Albano.
Ooh.
Versus Jimmy Snuka and Arnold Skoland.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think this is a match where Arnold hits the splash off the cage onto the Captain.
Yes,
I hope so.
December 26, 1983.
You know, I am excited to see a little bit of Captain Lou in action, because I saw in one of the 1970s house shows on the network a brief Captain Lou versus Gorilla Monsoon match in which Captain Lou bumped his head off. So I am very excited to see him get in here. And, wow, there's someone Don Morocco doesn't like. And what a slam. Wow, you know, he's still got it. Clap, 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 clap.
So, if you said this is December 26th, 1983, correct?
Yes.
So, there's a good chance that some of the kids in the crowd the day mm-hmm. before opened up a present, and their parents said, "Son, we're taking you to see Arnold Skoland face off against Captain Lou Albano." And that's when those children stopped believing in Santa Claus. Morocco with interesting chest hair, just basically across his like collarbones and nowhere else.
Yeah, you can like twirl it between your fingers. You know,
yeah,
if you're bored.
It's like a villainous mustache, but for your chest.
Do you guys see that guy in the crowd with the very thick mustache, the blue stocking hat, and the earmuffs over the stocking hat? That
yes. All yes. Christmas presents.
The one who looked like Mario?
Yes, combined with Alf.
Y'all. Man, Arnold is the workhorse of this match.
And we're replaying Arnold Skoland spots now.
I do like it's an interesting change of pace to see like Snuka gets in and Morocco doesn't back off. He slows down, but he's not afraid of him. You know, it's nice to see like a heel that's like ready to fight a guy. What I'm trying to say is Don Morocco is basically the first Brock Lesnar.
Captain Lou is no selling any punch that he gets. Snuka just punched him right in the face and he didn't even move.
He's established quite a base there. The cameraman appears to be wearing like a green morph suit.
You know, blast some local weather report.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not using green screens yet, but that guy's ready.
That was an interesting drop down from Snuka. Just a back bump.
Popcorn. Okay. No popcorn.
I don't know. Wouldn't it be part of Don Morocco's gimmick to go out and get some popcorn during the match?
Yeah.
Or is it not yet in 83?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea when he was eating hoagies and things like that.
This is when he still came out to Jesus Christ Superstar, correct?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, hot tag to Albano.
Captain is
Captain Lou Albano.
Now we're gonna see the captain.
Yep.
Maybe. We might. Who knows?
Oh.
He's standing. He's crouching ever lower when he gets hit. And I believe he just hit
he's in control now.
I believe a second ago he hit a Jay Strongbow special.
Yep.
This match has only been on for like 5 minutes and it's already killing me.
Yeah.
There's a little kid and his sister in the crowd, and the kid has his hands on his head like, what am I watching?
You know, I think...
Ah, Albano just completely missed with the punch right in plain view of the camera.
Wow. You know, I think in generational terms, Captain Lou coming in the match here and Snuka selling for him is a little bit like when Jimmy Snuka entered the Royal Rumble in 2008 and The Undertaker sold for him. Yeah. You know, it's a measure of respect.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, you hear the stories about like Haku was a legitimate tough guy, but probably second behind Haku was the captain.
Yeah, he has not sold anything.
Captain and the Chief, I think, would be a heck of a match.
At any point in time.
Main event anywhere in the country. Even today.
Strongbow would punch Albano. He'll punch Albano in the stomach and start bleeding.
Yeah, they could main event any VFW hall in the nation.
Why don't we have these massive, like, star wipes cuts in this match?
I know, golly.
We cut the hot lumberjack match.
And we cut every elimination from the Battle Royal. What's funny about this, too, like, so this came out in 85, and they selected this match to put on a VHS tape to sell.
Yeah.
Because it's so unusual.
It's true. It's very true.
You know, Captain Lou appraising the action.
Two Don Morocco matches. I saw in our live chats earlier that there's one of these shows that has three Bushwhacker matches.
Arnold Skoland hasn't been in the match for 10 minutes, is still very tired.
Match is legitimately terrible.
Yeah.
Well, he just chopped Albano and headbutted him, and he still...
Albano dropped to a knee and immediately tagged in, unfazed. Ready to do, always got his hand ready. He's going to put the claw on him. Nope, more clubbing blows.
Morocco sold the headbutt like he was dead and had to tag out. Albano went to, like, one knee.
Yeah, for 2 seconds. Ooh, big kick. Basically the precursor to the bro kick there, I think. Mm-hmm. I just saw.
The rumor was that Albano, I keep saying Albano like it's Spanish. Albano and
Albania. Albania.
Oh no!
Is Albano still not selling skull and punches?
You know, I'm kind of feeling bad for talking up Albano's bumping when this match started.
He's not left his feet.
No, he has not. I think the match is over at this point.
Yeah, he had a high body.
I just didn't know if it got the three count or not. And Albano will not fall.
No, no matter what you do to him, he does not fall. Giant headbutt. He's still walking.
He gets out of the ring.
He's just waving his hands around.
No, he's just left at his own power.
I don't feel bad anymore. This is great. The referee shaking his head. No! Like, yes, I get you, man.
Pat Patterson is not happy with something.
I bet he's not happy with a lot of things right now.
I think Albano, like, messed his hair and grabbed him from behind. Did the referee just tickle Arnold's knee?
We're replaying Skull and punching Albano in the corner. Oh my God, Albano's reactions are the best.
This is a big moment in Christmas 1983. The Golden Boy wins the match.
And he's still very tired, like existentially tired. Look at his face.
It was a very popular victory. We still have one more match to go, I think.
Ooh.
We have two more, I think.
Oh, no.
Glenn?
Yes?
I think you're going to like this. Is that a hillbilly outside the ring?
What are these guys?
Haystacks.
The listings that I have...
Oh, it's haystacks. Okay.
...indicates haystacks that, coming. Yes. This is from the 1970s. Whoa! As the title flies in, Haystacks Calhoun... The High Chief, Peter Maivia, and Larry Zbysko.
Yeah, I see Larry.
Okay, Legend. I thought that was Larry.
Versus the Butcher Vachon, Moose Monroe of Titans of Wrestling fame. Moose, yes. And Strong Kobayashi.
Oh.
At least they got the strong one. The weak one is probably not a good choice for a tag partner.
Probably not a great wrestler, no.
Aztex can't even get a full Nelson on Moose.
Yeah, but look at his power. He doesn't need to.
And look at the fashion, too. I mean, overalls are one thing, but you got to show off the calves when you got them.
Is that the most 1970s moment?
I think so.
Have you guys ever seen Jerry Blackwell?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was one of my favorite scary guys because he just looked like a normal guy. He looked like he was 5'9", but weighed like 550 pounds. He just looked like a basketball.
Haystacks fired off some wicked shots to the stomach.
Oh, wow. Yeah, after locking in the bear hug that just looks like he's hugging him.
Yep. Zbysko coming in a house fire, in and out. The High Chief.
Peter can wipe the smile off his face.
Yep.
Some.
Oh, and Haystacks is back. Oh!
My God, that was a splash.
Wow, yes.
Haystacks can't get off of him.
Okay, I do appreciate Peter Maivia and Larry Z climbing over Haystacks. Oh, we got to replay that.
Kobayashi get in the ring.
And that's the finish. The match is over.
I have to respect Maivia's tattoos from his stomach all the way down to his knees. Ah!
Steve, are you okay?
Yeah.
Steve's not a fan of the cuts.
All right, now we have landed on February 19th. Hmm?
This is awesome. 3 out of 5 falls.
Wow. 5 out of 5. Yes.
We got Andre.
3 out of 5 falls. We have Andre the Giant, Sal Bellomo, Rocky Johnson, Pedro Morales, and Jimmy Snuka. This is a heavy Jimmy Snuka tape.
Fourth time he's been in a match.
Versus Mr. Fuji, Don Morocco, Buddy Ooh. Rose, Billy Graham, and Ray Stevens.
Oh. Look at Rocky go.
Yeah. What's the date on this one?
I have it as February 19th,
83. Okay. So we might have some mobility in Andre here.
Maybe a little bit. Well, we still got red trunks, Andre.
Yeah. And an Afro Andre, too.
Yeah. And a spry young Mr. Fuji.
Important rules to note, it is 3 out of 5 falls, and once a fall happens, the two people involved in it have to stay in the ring. They can't tag out.
Okay.
Rocky likes that back extension rule.
Buddy Rhodes not quite on the blowaway diet yet.
Looks good.
Yeah, Buddy Rose still moving around.
Most 70s is, early 80s is the speed of the film.
Yeah. Morocco's into slow things down, don't worry. Oh, and we're jumping ahead.
Ah! That one came in from the right, upright diagonal.
Yeah, came flying at you. It would be most disconcerting if they redid this in 3D.
Yes. What a big left hand, folks. Ugh, racism. That Spanish blood is flowing, folks.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Oh, the French blood is about to be flowing.
Because Andre's blood is just straight beer.
Yeah, not a bad kick from Andre.
What is Buddy Rose doing? It's like waving to the crowd.
I'm getting Don back in the ring.
Very slowly. They should have had Captain Lou in this match.
Yeah.
He's the toughest guy.
Take on Andre. Andre with a drop down. And Morocco just ran into his butt.
Oh. And it hurt him a whole lot, though.
Yep.
The old man in the front row just got a huge kick out of that move.
Now, can one of you guys tell me who it is that Buddy Rose's haircut makes him look like? Is it the little boy from the paint can?
The Dutch boy?
Yes.
Yes, he's the Dutch boy. It's not Playboy, it's Dutch boy.
Yeah, all right. That I'll sleep better
Dutch
at night.
Buddy Rose.
I'll sleep better at night knowing we figured that out.
Or also the cousin that moved in with the Bradys in the later seasons of the Brady Bunch.
Oh, Oliver.
Cousin Oliver.
Yes, that's a good one.
Oh, good lord, you're right.
Horse Al Balomo.
Yeah, getting all kinds of airplane spins.
Later on, more known for his early ECW run, perhaps.
Yeah, as the wearing Hercules Hernandez old gear.
You know, of all the people in this match to be more famous for an ECW run.
Sal Balomo.
Well, and Jimmy Snuka was there in the start, too.
Yeah, true.
I think Morocco was there at one point.
Yep.
Very early, yeah.
He was more famous for that, though.
Exactly. I mean, Tito was there, too, but he's not more famous for it.
Well, Snuka's wearing some big elbow pads this time. Okay, he stole them right out of Jim Brunzel's locker.
I was going to say, I think those probably ended up on Jim Brunzel.
Yeah, and later on in the match, Snuka and Pedro are going to put masks on and trade places.
And nobody will know the difference.
Why wouldn't you just have Andre in the whole time?
Right? I mean, just running into his butt hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have him sit on people.
Yeah. Rocky Johnson is on fire in here.
Yeah, if you just like Rocky Johnson, punch him and slam him, and then just have Andre sit on him. It worked for Haystacks Calhoun. They should be watching their tapes. What the heck?
Yeah, Rocco gets headbutted into a getting tangled up in the ropes
by his neck.
Is this another match that inspired Mick Foley?
Oh, the Sal Balomo Mr. Fuji matchup you never knew you needed.
Mm-hmm. Big time drop kick from Salvatore.
Oh, belly to belly from Fuji.
He got him. Of course Fuji's the one who gets a pinfall.
How do you
I want to create Mr. Fuji on my WWE game and give him Bailey's entrance now.
How do you do a belly to belly and spike someone?
Man, Billy Graham looks terrible in this. They haven't even shown him in the ring.
Yeah. Would this be... gosh, I don't really know. Is this Kung Fu era Billy Graham?
Was that in WC or NWA?
I don't really know.
Yeah, he has like none of the muscle that he's famous for.
83 is like a big blind spot for me. Like, I really became a fan like... 84, 85 is my earliest memory.
Yeah, 84 for me is as well.
Yeah.
Salvatore Bellomo just got a pin.
Right, Sal.
The help of a dirty, cheating Jimmy Snuka.
And just 10 years later, he'd be in Philadelphia looking for another one.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. That was about 10 years after this match. He was in ECW.
So we're tied 1-1 now?
Yes. Sal Bellomo doing the worm, trying to get out of there.
The referee was like watching the whole time, but still counted.
Well, technically, Snuka kicked his own partner, so you can't really disqualify him.
Mm. Interesting point.
Buddy Rose is threatening to pull Salvatore's singlet apart, which I don't think would quite cut it in 1983.
Good lord, Snuka is gigantic.
Yeah, Buddy Rose helped him fall down. That was very sweet of him. So, Andre's team up 2-1 after a
and
sunset
Buddy Rose
flip.
Thinks
in quotation
that he
marks.
Won, right?
Yeah, I don't know what he thinks. Napoleon Dynamite in the background in the crowd.
Every time they show Billy Graham on camera, I have to remember that that's who that is. He looks like a completely different person.
Yeah,
I couldn't figure it out at first, and then I remembered the announcement. Oh, they only showed 3 of the falls, apparently? Oh, no, they didn't.
Back to Buddy and Snuka again. Even though we clearly stated that the next fall couldn't start with the same guys, so we must have skipped some tags.
Gorilla says they're an hour into the match now.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What did these fans do to deserve this? So in 1983, they said, hey, Andre, can you go an hour plus tonight?
I don't know, boss.
Andre, with your thighs so white, will you go an hour tonight?
It was either him or Chief J. Strongbow.
Andre could have had 70 beers in this time period.
Right. Andre's in there in something.
Andre's having a sulfur Fuji.
Yeah.
If you're saying this match went an hour, I'm looking up what else happened on this show.
They said at the beginning that the time limit was 2 hours.
Oh. So there's a limit.
Yes.
Now, this match featured... This was a big-time show. There was a tag team championship match. There was a world championship match. Pitting Big John Studd against Bob Backlund.
Well, let's hope that one went an hour as well.
The Wild Samoans faced Chief J and Jules Strongbow. Best two out of three falls for the tag titles.
Oh, Jules is Jay's mother. Have you noticed that Billy Graham has not been in this match at all for... Ah, butt drop.
Yeah,
that's
it.
Oh, man. That'll do it.
We didn't see Graham once in that match.
No, we didn't.
Just as well to get him off the clips that we saw.
Yeah. We had to watch how many Don Morocco matches. Come on. And he just heads out of the ring at this point. That's it. 3-1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who needs five falls? They only needed an hour. I think that wraps it up for this unusual set of matches.
It is unusual.
Indeed. Which match do you guys think was the most unusual?
Hmm.
I think the women's battle royal was pretty unusual.
Yeah. Honestly, though, this match, I've never seen a best of five 10-man tag before.
Mary Lou Retton's happy about it.
Mary Lou Retton, one of our best celebrity cameos tonight. Red Fox was a good one, I thought.
Yeah, yep. Carl Winslow was doing police duty in one of the matches. Bob Newhart was there.
Star-studded affair.
Indeed.
Yep. What was your favorite match?
Oh, what was the shortest one?
I'm going to say the Texas Tornado match, just because watching Piper and Orton bump all over the place was pretty great. And I love me a good thump headbutt.
Yeah, I really... thank you, Arthur Morowitz, for your executive producing. I enjoyed the first match. I've also seen a more complete version of it, so...
Yeah.
So she's a lot of weird on this. I wonder if any of these are, like, kayfabe names.
Yeah.
Like with Virgil Runnels on the CNC Music Factory doing the post.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Special thanks.
Are we going to get,
make
like,
Morocco sweat?
Special thanks to Vince McMahon. Very special thanks, indeed.
And Liz DeFabio.
Suzanne Vellante. Howard Finkel in Titan Sports.
Howard Finkel researched this?
Yes. Howard Finkel does everything.
What marketing consultants told them to put so many Don Morocco matches on here?
And you always have to say that Jimmy Snuka is the MVP. Like, just because he's in three matches and the Lumberjack match. I don't know. Gosh, this was... not my... time period that I'm most fond of.
And I'm not dying to go back and check it out and see if my mind changes on it.
Yes.
Because I'm certain that it won't.
And I have been watching World Class 1982 in order and following along then with the Worldcast podcast on our network of podcasts. And I have to say the wrestling there is a little bit better.
Hmm. Better than the Lou Albano match, huh?
Yeah, the jobber matches are at least funny and short.
Sure.
Well, I mean, any closing thoughts on this? I don't really know how to rate this.
I would rate it 4 Chief Strongbow groin kicks out of 10.
Okay. Glenn, do you have a rating that you would like to give out? It could be about anything.
I would rate it 5 out of 5 Captain Lou Albano bumps.
Oh.
Oh, wait, let me change my rating. 3.5 Haystacks Calhoun splashes out of 10.
Steve?
I was going to go with 2.5 Jesse Ventura blue clown wigs.
A very good metric. I hope to judge many more of these by that metric.
Well, I think this might come to an end of a very unusual podcast. Jordan, anything you want to plug? Anything you're excited about? Hey, anything that you're watching live these days?
You know, unusually, no, I don't have anything to plug right now. I've kind of been out of the podcasting game. This is my first show back in a while, so thanks for having me. people who know me personally know, you know, we moved over the past month and things like that, kind of settling back into normal life in a new home. So I do look forward to getting back into some shows and live casting. I will do a couple plugs for some PTBN podcasts. I have been enjoying Scott and Nate's main event, where they have had you on a few times, Chad, on to talk about New Japan. I really do enjoy Scott's journey into Japanese wrestling. I like that he's going in with an open mind. And it's a fun listen to hear somebody who wants to learn about current stuff. Well, not always current, but just wants to expand their horizon on pro wrestling. It's cool. It's a cool listen when Scott kind of gives his thoughts on something he's never seen before. So that's a fun listen. In terms of live watching, gosh, what am I watching anymore?
Doesn't even have to be wrestling.
Oh, okay. Well, I watched The Flash today, and that show's getting pretty good this season. Mm. What do you think?
I'm still on the season 2, so I can't help you there.
Well, that's unusual.
Glenn, how about you? Anything you want to plug? Anything unusual going on in life? Any live watching that you've been doing?
Well, very soon I'm going to be live watching the Olympics. That's going to be cool.
yeah.
In my family tradition, I have scheduled my vacation from work to cover the time of the Olympics so I can watch all the curling I can handle.
I love watching curling. It is actually great fun.
I love the Winter Olympics. I love the cross-country skiing. I love the curling. I love the ski jumps. It's all great. In terms of where you can find me, if you'd like to, I, of course, have the Wednesday Walk Around the Web every Wednesday, posted at 9 a.m. You can find it any time of the day that you like at placetobenation.com, a weekly link roundup of things that I find interesting or informative or funny in some fashion, and hopefully you do too. I am also the host of the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, over on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. Steve, you've been on recently and hopefully again soon, because we are doing advice shows now interstitially when we're not talking about Star Wars or whatever TV shows we're watching. If anyone would like to ask us for advice, and really, after spending this hour and a half with us watching the most unusual matches, why wouldn't you?
We should be asking for advice.
I mean, I've got a question I could lob at you guys right now, just to kind of give the listeners, if you guys want.
Well, if anyone would like to ask us advice, they should email spectacularadvice@gmail.com. But Jordan, since you've got us on the line already, you know, sure. Ask away.
Sure. So I've got a friend who I consider a pretty decent friend in my life. You know, we talk about our lives and our families and just keep in touch with each other, things like that. And I've always considered him a pretty good friend. And then he asked me to do something with him, and I thought it would be a fun little thing. And it turns out he made me watch a Captain Lou Albano tag match. So Should I just cut him off completely from my life, or should I put him on blast, so to speak? What should I do?
I think that as a licensed therapist, you should probably have a talk with Glenn and let him know how you feel about these things, and you can have a conversation and perhaps come to some sort of agreement, or you know, maybe he can take you out for Funyuns or something.
Sounds good. Glenn, I'll mail you my address.
I would just like to say that I'm trying to rein in some anger management issues lately, so I am going to try my hardest to take what you've said as an earnest a way of expressing your feelings in friendship. I will try to take what you're saying in the spirit in which it's given. And really feel like you're giving me feedback, and you know, try to not get defensive and try not to feel like I'm being attacked. And so With that said, my response is that you are my friend and I value your friendship and I would not want to intentionally harm you. And if I have, I am so very sorry. And yes, if we are ever in the same place, I will get you Funyuns. I promise.
I think we've really healed some wounds tonight. Suck it, Lucha Undead Podcast.
Yeah.
This is how you heal a friendship over the year. That's a deep cut right there.
Well, with that, we will bid you adieu on this most unusual live watch. Stay tuned. We will perhaps do some more of these, but maybe not the Coliseum videos. Before Jordan, for Glenn, for myself, this has been Place to Be Nation Live Watch. Thanks for listening.
Connection!